This presentation is about Tyson Common. We'll try to see, to have a better insight of what's inside Tyson Common. My name is Stéphane Deneux. I'm working as a release engineer for Tyson Common in France. I'm working for the company named EuroGCL. It's an IT services company located in France and also in Europe. We are specialized in open source development and integration. There are several maintainers on the Tyson project currently. Our company is also specialized on general open source development on many new technologies like Miracast or Wayland and Western, and some WebKit 2 also, so WebKit 2 projects, a lot of applications. We are located in Brittany, in France. So the agenda. In the first part, a quick part, I think, because Sunil just explained why we needed Tyson Common. So I will just point the key reasons why we need it. And then we'll get a global overview of what is Tyson Common, and we'll jump inside it, and we'll see the roadmap. So as Sunil said, we have more and more profiles to handle. We have the mobile, the IVI stuff, the new TV, all the wearables, and anything that will come in the future. So it was becoming critical to have a common base for all those profiles. We had to keep compatibility between the profiles, I mean, at the application level. If you have an application developed for a smartphone, or for example, a game, probably you would like to have the same application running inside your car or on your TV, okay? So the first point is very important. It's keeping compatibility. Also, from the developer's point of view, not all developers can have the hardware to develop. I mean, especially if we have more and more profiles. If you are working for for Samsung, probably you will get some TV or so watch. If you work for Intel, you would get IVI hardware. But if you are a normal developer inside the community, what could you get to test your applications? So the idea is to provide a common base that would be used by developers to validate their applications and guarantee that these applications will run correctly on other profiles. It's a lever to get more and more developers interested in Tyson. And of course, the work done on Tyson Common will benefit to all profiles. So if we add a new feature, we just add it once, we test it extensively, and then all profiles will benefit from this new feature. But I will show you how the synchronization will be done. The development process should be easier because we want to support different platforms that are available for anyone, in fact. So for Intel architecture, we support 32 and 64 bits architecture. We've included the graphic drivers, usual graphic drivers. So Tyson Common will work on classic PCs, laptops, NUCs, etc. Or on industrial PCs like the VTC 1010 that is used as a target reference platform for IVI. And for hackers, we want to support the Minnow board Max that is supposed to come soon. And for the ARM architecture, it was recently Samsung and Intel decided to support the Android U3 target platform. And Actually, we didn't get any in our team, so the development has just started on the Android. But we have also other boards that are supported yet. For example, the Olimex board based on AllWinner. If you want to see a demo, we have a booth at the tech showcase. You can just visit us, and we can show you the board running Tizen Command. Okay. So Tizen Command is an integration point for all profiles. The basic idea is to say that if two profiles have a package in common, this package should be in Tizen Common. Okay? But we want to let profiles be free of what they want to integrate. So there will be a lot of packages on the Git repos that won't be in Tizen Common, and we won't integrate them. Okay? So I'll speak later about the new rules we have to set on Tizen Common to accept or reject the submissions, but I think that every maintainer and architect and developer must understand that Tizen Commons must be as small as possible. We don't want to include all applications or any services inside Tizen Commons. We just want to be the base for the rest. So more or less, Tizen Commons is it's like a special profile where we put the new features first. So recently we added some multi-user capabilities. You saw Dominic's demo just before me. You saw that we have multiple users running on the same screen and running applications in different contexts, and the security is respected. We have Smack, we have Signara that is coming, we have Crosswalk, we have Western, Wayland, etc. So it's the same architecture than before. Just as a recall, you see we have some core packages in green, we have some shared packages in blue. That's packages we don't enforce in every profile. And of course, in Tizen Command, you will get some, I say private, because I didn't find a better word to name those packages. But of course, as Tizen Command is supposed to run on some platforms, you have to support some kind of hardware abstraction layer. You need to have a kernel. You need to have some tools to develop, to test the distribution. Okay, so these packages are part of Tizen Common, but in fact, for Tizen Common itself, for the QA teams to do their work, or for developers to compile their application, for example. But they are not supposed to be inherited in all other profiles. So we try to split all the packages we had in sub-projects. We have the common micro, which is as small as possible, with just a kernel, systemd, PAM, SMAC, all the base tools, and network connectivity, and that's all. At the end of this speech, I'll show you a demo of this one. Sorry, it was this slide?
Yeah. All of the native, right?
The reason is that actually, from what I know, only mobile is using the native framework. IVI will not use it. And so we don't have, it's a rule we have set. If one package is used by only one profile, it's supposed to be profile specific.
So where?
If we can have some common APIs between all those profiles, probably that will enter inside common. But in fact, it's more difficult than that. There is also a problem with the multi-user features and handling the security and the privileges of the applications within this environment. And you could attend the presentation that will be made by my teammate tomorrow. like that is on the multi-user, it will show that we will have to introduce a new service API. And this API will take quite the same place as the native framework we have actually in, currently in Titan Mobile. So, yeah, right now it's just in our brains, but it will come quite soon. I mean, before the end of this year, we will surely have these service APIs. And native applications could be based on those APIs, if they are not based on HTML5. So back to the sub-projects. We have so a micro profile, something like the smallest as possible. We have a light, common light, which starts including some display, some graphic system, some web runtime, some middleware on Bluetooth and multimedia. We have a lot of dev tools. Of course, we need a build toolchain to build for Intel architecture and ARM. We have a lot of debug tools, console tools, QA tools, etc. There is a new feature on the QA side. Currently, we are releasing the first QA test suite that will be included in common. That means that anyone that wants to test, any developer, platform developer that wants to test if his new feature doesn't break the platform, you can just download the RPM of the test suite and run it on his development board, or I don't know. And you will see before submitting his patches and his features on the OBS and the, following the whole workflow, you will see if his feature, what are the consequences, what it will break, what works, what doesn't. Okay. So it's an interesting step to get a better quality in the distribution. And we have also shared components that we talked before. We have some toolkits and some middleware that will not come inside every profile. So it's the same diagram than before. Nothing more to add, I think. So we have our package types. We are going a little deeper inside. We have some core packages that are identified in the Git repo as platform upstream, or usually it's platform upstream and platform core. We have some shared package with which are in the same place, but we know that they are shared, but actually, currently it's not notified yet on the Git. Sorry? Chad, I don't understand. Ah, the shared packages. Maybe we can have some kind of shared packages, even if just for one profile. But I mean, we should expect such shared packages to be reused on other profiles as well. On future profiles. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Probably some new features can be integrated this way, because we don't want to enforce the new packages to be included in every profile, except if it's a key feature. But we would prefer to include the new feature as a shared package and let profile leaders decide if they want to get it or not. And we have also private packages. This time, they are well identified. They are all located in a profile common. And also their names are quite explicit. It's kernel common, Western common, etc. Titan common is supposed to support multiple products. It's an integration point that is very interesting for other profiles, because it will set the QA level we need to have a good product quality. So for each profile, we need to synchronize regularly on Tizen Common integration, but at the pace that every profile wants. I mean, some profile will have a lot of feature to implement, and maybe they will want to sync once a month, for example. And other profiles like IVI are closely related to Tizen Common and will sync probably every week. So it depends really on every profile. We don't enforce anything. Just to say that Tizen Common is a way to also introduce a new kind of workflow. This is not a, there are not big difference with the previous workflow, but maintainers and developers must understand that we try to make our best to have a real high quality packaging in common. So there is a new tool that is named Ripa. Ripa as release engineer, something, assistance tool or something like that. The idea with Ripa is that when you will make a submission, you will be able to rebuild the whole project just with your submission added, and you will see which packages would break if your submission was accepted, but it's not yet. That's the role of the release engineer, like me, to say, this submission is okay, it doesn't break anything, so I can accept it, and the submission will enter in the main project, but for any reason. Yeah, that's the same model as on GitHub when you'll have pre-release builds or so those pre-release builds are available. When you make a submission, you get a submission ID by GBS, and it's very easy to go on the UBS project and just go on the home pre-release project and just enumerate the sub-project. You will find your submission inside and just get in. And you will see that your package that you submitted rebuilds correctly. Does it rebuild only on Intel architecture or Intel and ARM? Do other packages rebuild are broken or not? It's very important to have a clean submission. I mean, do not try to avoid to insert flows inside the distribution. So the first point is that we have pre-release builds. And the second point is that you can look at it. It's public. The third point is that we have also pre-release images that are built with the pre-release project. So you can even download those images and test them. usually the URLs are indicated in the pre-release project description. You need also to know that we are running QA sanity tests on the pre-release images. So we want to be sure, for example, it's a very simple test, but we want to be sure that the system will boot and just boot to UI, for example, for Tizen Common, the main images, and that it's not working. Yeah, it rebuilds every dependency, so if the dependency in the RPM are correct, this will trigger the rebuild of anything. Yeah, it's as usual, in fact, you have the same project as the main project, but just with your summation inside. And that's all, but you get the same images and you can debug on it and you can do everything you do as usual. But it's on your private image, in fact. Oh, it's a private one. The QA tests are run on, I think they will run on any target we are supposed to support. So. It's still discussed with the infra team, but I think we could use the emulator images to test some things because we wouldn't have to flash real targets to test. Yeah, the image is using, for example, for IVIs, it's using VTC 1010 and other target hardwares, and they use CATS, that is a tool from the PRC team that is used to make an automatic test. Yeah, we'll have to test every image on every type of target platform, but we won't have
perhaps we don't have to be very exhaustive. We just want to be sure. For example, for Intel architecture, do we have to test every 32 and 64 bits versions? Perhaps for previous builds, just a 64 is enough. But later we will test the 32 version, of course. Yeah. For me, it's still work in progress. But the test suites are also built in the project. So the tests that will be run on the image, on the previous builds, and on the snapshots, and even on the daily and weekly images, are the same as the ones you can run before submitting. Currently, I don't know. Yeah, mostly, but we have to work with Samsung a little bit more to join our tests and to merge them and make a lot of test suites for multiple products. There is one small disadvantage with those pre-release builds is that build cycles may be long, because if we have, let's say, 10 maintainers that will send submissions, we'll have 10 pre-release projects, okay? That makes sense. But if I, as a release engineer, accept one of those submissions, all the submissions remaining will have to be rebuilt. So if I accept, for example, an update on RPM, I'm sure that every project will have to be rebuilt. So it's huge. I mean, the infrastructure to rebuild every package will be highly loaded. So as a maintainer, you can't expect to have a result 2 hours after your submission. You should be aware of that, because on a daily basis, you don't want to submit and just test what you submitted right after you submit, you see. That's why it's very important to have a way to test things before, to be able to install easily Tizen command, push your updates, rebuild the package locally, test your updates with the same test suite, and then when you are sure that a new feature will not break anything, you can push it. And after that, it will take perhaps days to be integrated. But it's not your problem anymore. So on Tizen command, we'll have higher acceptance criteria than before. The main reason is that most packages in Tizen command will be pulled by other profiles. So we have to raise the acceptance level. Normally, I mean, that's my job to say I accept or I reject the submissions. But if I want to keep the project as clean as possible, I should reject any submission that doesn't build cleanly on all architectures, where all previous images are not built correctly, for example, for dependency reasons. All the QA sanity tests must pass on all previous images. This way, I'm quite sure that a submission won't break anything. Is that there is something broken? Perhaps it will be inside the API or at runtime, but at least I have an image where developers and etc. can test, can run, where bugs that will be open on this target will be meaningful. Okay, it's just not a bug that says the image is not built or the source is not built. Okay, so it makes sense to raise the acceptance criteria. Just a few guidelines for the maintainers, because as we target multiple architectures, you will have to test if your submissions will build cleanly on every architecture. So for that, you can use the A flag of GBS. You will also have to target which project you want to push your submission to. And this time you will have to use the T flag, where you specify the target. Will it be Tizen command? Will it be Tizen IVI? And if you say Tizen, it will be anything. So depending on what is supposed to be submitted, you'll have to try to imagine who will integrate the new feature or the patch you sent. So for Tizen Common, the typical usage would be to integrate new features. And for Tizen Profile, with a given profile, for example, IVI or mobile, the typical usage is to submit a change on a profile-specific package. It doesn't make sense to send this package on Tizen Common. Okay. And if you use the target Tizen, as is actually the case for most of the packages, the submission will be broadcasted to all the profiles. This could be useful when you have some bug fixes to submit to everyone. And when multiple profiles must be changed simultaneously, that means you can't rebuild package A if you didn't change package B, etc., etc. Okay, so you have to submit A and B simultaneously. If you don't submit them simultaneously, as a release engineer, I will see the first package. Perhaps it will build, but the second one won't build. So I will reject the second one. I accept the first, but the second one will be lost, and you will have to resubmit. So the idea is to say, as a maintainer of this domain or this subdomain, I know that I changed this package on this one, and they are a logical group. Packages that must be updated together. Okay, so for that it's quite easy. You can submit a first package. GBS will say, here is your tag, your submission ID, and then for the other packages you want to integrate inside the group, you just reuse the tag. You have just to force the tag that will be used. So it's a few guidelines, but very useful, and we'll need to educate every maintainer to follow such kind of rules for Tizen Common, of course, but also for the profiles. On the OBS side, we have currently nearly 700 packages to maintain inside Tizen Common. We try to make some cleanup because we have some legacy packages that are still here and that they shouldn't be inside the repository. We have 5 repos. And 5 architectures. The most notable one is the Emulator 32. It's a newest repo, which is used exclusively for the SDK. It means that we want to create an image for the SDK so that any application developer can use Tizen Common as a reference image. And the bug reports are must be sent on a new Jira project, an MTC. A small word on the images that we built currently. The main images are named Common Wayland, MBR, and the architecture. This is just a raw images for USB or SSD, HDD. There is also less known image, which is very useful. This is a common minimal. Currently, it's not built really. It's not made available, but it's really easy to build. This minimal image is close to the common micro profile. So you just have a kernel, systemd, and PAM on Mac. You have a boot, and that's all. You don't have any Wayland, crosswall, web runtime, or I don't know. It's minimal. The emulator is like the main image, but with a few differences related to hardware acceleration, graphic acceleration. You have also the installer image that I will demo just after. Installer is just a minimal image with just one package more. That is an NCurses installer that is able to pull some Tizen Common images from the web and install on your device. And all for these 4 type of images, we have some tags inside. We have QA unsafe. Those images are not so unsafe, but could be useful because they allow automatic login through SSH. Without those images, we wouldn't be able to make automatic QA tests. Okay. And currently, we only support MBR bootloaders, but the EFI support is coming soon. It's already on IVI. We just have to roughly to take what has been done on IVI and integrate in common. So we plan to have, so the snapshots that are built every time a build cycle is done on the OBS. We will run QS entity test on each snapshot. For the daily release, we will run extra QA test, probably automatically, but it will be tests that take a little longer. For example, the web API conformance test or the performance test of Quail on Western, you see. So it would take 1 hour or so to run the test and try to find the best snapshot of the day. That's the definition of our daily image. And the weekly release is quite the same as the daily, but we'll run extra tests and probably a lot of manual tests on that to determine which daily release is the best. And last, I tried to show how can we sync with Tizen Common. It's just an idea for currently what will be done on IVI. So perhaps other profiles would prefer to do differently, but with this kind of synchronization, we have a mix between continuous integration and integration points, sync points. We can have regularly. So you have some the orange submissions you have in the middle are those that are made that are globally made available on all projects. And as a release engineer on Tizen Common, those submissions can be accepted or rejected. Okay, if I accept them, the release engineer of the profile can also accept them on the profile because I tested the submissions before accepting it. But there are also Tizen Common specific submissions that shouldn't enter in the profile yet because it's perhaps new features. We know that it will break some things, so we have to wait. So we will have specific Tizen Common submissions, and for example, the IVI profile will wait the weekly release to make a synchronization and make those submissions enter in IVI. It's a decision of the profile, it's not how, but it's a way to do things. Some other profiles would prefer to forget the orange submissions and just pick their specific one, the green ones, and regularly have a big synchronization with Tizen Common. Everything can make sense if at the end everyone is aligned. So in the recent history of Tizen Common, we made our best to integrate a lot of features. There is a multi-user mode on which I work with my colleagues that is trying to support multiple user sessions, display, sharing applications, etc. For example, single Western instance is a feature of the single user mode, multiple user mode. We just added RDP, which is free RDP, I mean a remote desktop protocol, which allows a developer to connect with a R desktop client to a Tizen target. Could be interesting for remote access to a platform by multiple developers, for example. We have the latest version of Crosswalk. We have BAM TFL recently, which is not the latest version, but quite good. We bumped Mesa last week. We have the latest Qt and some Tizen specific packages like GumD or Synera are already inside Tizen Common, but just for early integration. I mean, we have to build the base packages before using them in other services and APIs. So it's ready. And the snapshot and images are also available. The ARM build is done on ARM v7L with a Neon FPU. That means we can target any recent ARM platform, I think. We have some beta images, but the whole system to build the images is not ready yet. It's still a work in progress. We have some things to do to finish with the hardware abstraction layer on ARM, and we need Android U3 boards to do that. But now it will be the case. We have the emulator image and the installer.
And on the roadmap, as Sunil said before, we'll try to have an alpha version in Q2. I mean, it's right now, end of May, it's beginning of June. we'll have a beta version in Q3 and a final version in Q4 with the following features that will come.
So in alpha, I mean the current version, you can say that. We have Crosswalk, we have multi-user, etc. Buxton is already there, but not used, so we have to migrate from vconf to Buxton. Signera is coming soon. I mean, it's already inside Tizen Common, but we'll have to use it correctly. So the purpose of Tizen Common will be to define the service APIs correctly and be the first pseudo profile to use it. And finally, for the beta version, we have the 3D UI, the new Bluetooth framework, Wi-Fi framework, ARM64 builds, and bumps everywhere for EFL, for Qt probably, for Wayland. We'll have soon, currently working on Wayland 1.5, that was released last week or a week before. We'll have also user accounts management, because if we have multi-users, we must manage them. So there are some layers and APIs that will come for that.
So do you have questions?
Yeah.
Yeah, the definition of the API is the definition of the SDK. Perhaps it's a little bit it's changed underneath, but from the developer point of view, it will be already some APIs or APIs need to be stabilized. And especially for multi-user node, because a lot of APIs need to be the name of the user, I don't know, but so there will be probably some changes in the APIs, but there will be changes. So we have to be careful on that, and as soon as the APIs stabilize here, we must stick to them. And even if we 3.0 or 3.1 or 3.2, we'll have some new features inside, but the APIs will remain the same. So the SDK should follow. I think so. We have to stay to the. I mean, before we hadn't any point of convergence in the direction, so it was natural for profiles to take on. Yeah. Exactly. You just said the word. I wanted to make a small demo. Just to show you, I think another, but it's just to show you that it's quite easy to install Tizen Common. So I reboot my PC, and as you can see, you have the script where I slash the installer version of Tizen Common. So I just reboot my. I hope it will be displayed correctly. Ah, that's good. I can't insert my stick. Okay, so I'm just booting my stick. We are just getting a small Tizen Common image, you see. And it's a minimal image, but just the installer at the end. So you can first select your keyboard, and it's a front line. Just to select the passcode for the Wi-Fi. So, for example, if you are connected with a kind of cable, you don't need to select this. But you can have three. That's okay. That's it. Of course, I won't install my laptop. But just to show, perhaps there will be a problem with the connection. But anyway, you see the interface. And if my connection would be established, And the next step was to, which profile I want to start? I say, Simon. And you want to start that or you say, really? Maybe it is yes. The first release was done 2 days, so the tool is not ready yet. The first week here release will be done today. So the tool is not able to draw the directory yet, but I hope you got the idea. I just select the image I want to flash and then it flashes my laptop, or you select the device you want to flash. And the same. So this problem things could be used on Nest, the next you will get tomorrow, and to install the latest Python Canonical 8. And that's it. It's just working. Now it was the same as before. Let me make it, but it was the one that did exactly the same dinner as Dominic made just before. When they were on a well and I took my hand and the movie. It's a current state of Python Canon. Thank you.